Let's pray. Father, we thank you and we praise you for the privilege of worshiping you. We praise you that you are the one and the only and the true God, that you are worthy of our praise and our adoration. We come to you now, Lord, to remember your table. And I pray that you would be honored in this, and I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. As we come to our time around the Lord's table today, I want to look at Jesus, the atoning sacrifice. So if you have your Bibles with you, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter is writing to Christians throughout the Roman world, and he is giving them guidelines as to how they should live. He is telling them that they should abstain from fleshly lusts and to keep their behavior excellent among men. He's telling them to submit to every form of human government, whether it's the king or those that represent him. And then he addresses slaves. And he tells the slaves that they need to be submissive to their masters. Not only to those masters who are good and who are kind and who are gentle, but also to those masters who are unjust. And it's in this suffering unjustly that Peter sets forth Jesus as our ultimate example. I'm going to look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 21 through 24, so follow along with me as I read. Peter writes, "For you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example to follow in his steps. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit found in his mouth. And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. And while suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his wounds you were healed." The focus of this passage is on Jesus, who suffered for the sins of those who would believe in him. In verse 22, Jesus is describing Jesus' perfect life. There was nothing that Jesus said, there was nothing that Jesus did that contained any sin throughout his life, and this uniquely qualified him to satisfy God's wrath against sin, because God's system of justice requires a perfect sacrifice to atone for the sins of the guilty. We see the servant mindset of Jesus in verse 23 as he hung on the cross. He did not revile those who reviled him. He knew his role on the cross was to satisfy God's wrath against all of those who had placed their trust and their confidence in him. Matthew's account of the crucifixion in the Gospel of Matthew gives us a clear picture of what this looked like. There were passers-by who was at the crucifixion, and they hurled insults at Jesus and they mocked him. The two criminals who were crucified with Jesus did the same thing. They mocked him and they hurled insults at him. And the priests who were there did the same thing as well. They said, "We'll believe in him if he saves himself." And they misquoted the Psalms and they said, "If Yahweh is truly delighted in you, he would save you." If there ever was a person who had a reason to respond to such reviling, it was Jesus. And he had it at the cross, but he didn't. He uttered no threats while he was suffering. The physical pain that he endured on the cross was designed by the Romans to provide a slow and painful, agonizing death. And in that process, Jesus uttered no threats, either to those around him, those who were responsible for his death. Some truths about Jesus are found in Colossians chapter 1. Listen to these things that are true about Jesus. By Jesus, all things are created. They were created through him, and they were created for him. Jesus is before all things, and in Jesus, all things hold together. If anyone had a position to threaten people in their time of suffering and trial, it was Jesus, but he didn't do that. That's because at the cross, Jesus was pursuing a much higher goal, and that goal was to secure eternal life for those who would place their trust in him as their atoning sacrifice. And he did that by becoming a substitute in our place. And we see that in verse 24. In verse 24, Jesus bore our sins in his body. This is a complete transfer of sin, a complete transfer. At the cross, nearly 2,000 years ago, every sin that every Christian in all of history would ever commit in their life, both before and after their conversion, became a part of Jesus it was actually in his body. It was as if Jesus himself had actually committed all of those sins. Every lie, every impure thought, every bit of greed, every bit of malice that any Christian would ever participate in, they all became part of Jesus at the cross. The other thing that Jesus did to serve as our atoning sacrifice was he suffered for that sin that was now in him. In the Old Testament law, to bear a sin demanded that you be responsible for that sin and that you suffer the consequence for that sin. And that consequence of the cross was absorbing the Father's wrath against everybody who had placed their trust and their confidence in Jesus. And this is something that we don't have the capacity to fully comprehend. We have an infinitely powerful, infinitely holy, infinitely offended God because of our sin. That's the same power and fury and vengeance with which God will judge all of creation at the end of this age. All of that was poured out on Jesus as he hung on the cross in our place. Jesus did all of this so that the one who follows him would be able to die to sin and to live to righteousness. The Christian actually has a new relationship with sin because of this. Sin is no longer ruling and reigning over their life, even though it's a part of their life. That is what Jesus accomplished at the cross. If you're here today and you have placed your trust and your confidence, your hope in Jesus Christ as your atoning sacrifice, you understand that he suffered in your place and you have followed him as your master and your savior and your Lord. We invite you to join with us here as we take the elements together. When the elements come to you, please hold them and ponder the work that Jesus accomplished at the cross as he took all of your sin into himself and he bore all of God's wrath against you on himself so that you could be righteous before God. If you placed your trust in Christ, but you're here and there is ongoing unrepentant sin in your life, there is sin that you won't let go of, this is the opportunity for you. I exhort you to forsake that sin and leave that sin now. Leave that sin and take the elements and rejoice with the rest of us. The Christian is one who continually turns away from their sin and they turn to obedience. If you're here today and your plan regarding your sin is to deal with your sin apart from Jesus Christ, you need to know some very important things. Your sin condemns you before a holy God. It condemns you. God's forgiveness is there. It is available for you, but it extends only to the one who places their trust and their confidence in Jesus as their master. And apart from that sin and apart from that forgiveness, you'll spend eternity absorbing God's wrath against you in a place called hell. God's word tells us that. We can trust him. He is truthful and he is right in that. So take the elements and let them pass by you if that is you. But please seek out the person who brought you, this person next to you. Seek out an elder. After the service, we would love to talk with you about God's atoning grace through Jesus Christ. So men, come forward in service. When the elements come to you, take them on your own. And I will close us in prayer.